Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And it's the most complicated defense in the NFL. And when you get it and you play with freedom, it can be really, really impressive and really stifling. And when you don't get it, and I bring up Ed Donatell, it can be really ugly.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Birds 365. We're going to go into our part two of the defensive breakdown today. Over 8,000 views and counting on Johnny Mack's part one masterclass of the Vic Fangio defense. No, it is not a 3-4 defense. Johnny Mack explained that yesterday. So if you missed that segment, make sure you go back and watch it on the Jacob YouTube channel, John McMullen's masterclass. Over 8,000 views, so good stuff. And we'll get into part two now. Johnny Mack, let's get into it. Part two. We're going to go back in now. What's the role of the safeties and the cornerbacks in this?
Oh, boy, man. We need a 15-hour show for this. I'll try to, and this is the most complicated part of the defense, and it is complicated from the perspective of so many things being asked. Now, coverage is coverage, as all corners and safeties will tell you. So they're used to the different versions, but to use so many in one sort of philosophy is kind of rare. So basically where I would start is, you know, he almost always starts with a split safety look, and then he spins off into whatever coverage he's going to call. And when you do split the field, you're basically talking about two basic coverages, and that's cover two and cover four, which I think most people are familiar with cover two, which is pretty simple. And then quarters coverage is a little bit more difficult, which is, you know, coaches can do it in a different way. So when we talk about coaches copying Vic Fangio, and he said people take some little pieces, not everybody does everything the same way. What he's talking about is you can have a pure zone guy. So that might be you drop to a spot, for instance, and that's it, which is probably the simplest way. You got zone match principles, which is underneath defenders have to pass off the routes as they go into specific zones. And then you have man match principles, which will look like man coverage at time, but really isn't. And once the zone match is completed, basically it becomes man to man. So it's very complicated. And then from Vic's evolution himself, he really plays more cover three than he has in the past, which is a good indication from, you know, he's realized that you have to switch things up. You have to evolve. I think evolution is a key to everything because if people get used to it, it becomes easier to deal with. And by people, I mean quarterbacks, especially veteran quarterbacks. And I think you've seen that with some of the Fangio defenses. Ed Donatell, particularly, is one of his best friends, has really struggled because people knew what he was doing. And it was too easy for quarterbacks. So he's evolved and he plays more cover three, which is basically where that flat defender comes in, or hook defender, whatever you like, whatever you want to call it. And basically that's to get sort of in the way and make things a little bit more difficult. And he toggles back and forth through all this stuff. And week to week, it'll be different. And that's why we talk about, you know, 3-4 defense, which I don't like that term, as Xander said, but they play odd man fronts. But that's not a good description of what they do, because they'll simply toggle to a 4-man front on the next play, potentially. As Vic said, it's a very versatile defense. And when he also talked about, as we got in with Bill, about going back to basics, if you struggle, that's what he's talking about. Because if your head is spinning, you can imagine the young players.
Right.
And occasionally you want to simplify. But basically, right now, so if he's rushing 5 and dropping 6, which he doesn't often do, his blitz percentages are low 20% at best. You know, there's a little bit more, he calls it fire zone 3. And then if he rushes 4 and drops 7, which is typical, more typical,
right?
You have a lot of 2x2 formations. That's where he adds the hook defender, the extra hook defender, to try to deal with that underneath. And last year he had a lot of success with Andrew Van Ginkel, and that's what we were all trying to bring up. I was trying to bring up with Zach Bond, because Howie mentioned him as a similar sort of upside to an Andrew Van Ginkel player. And I said, well, that's interesting, because he had a lot of success with that type of defender. Now, maybe it changes because he doesn't have that defender here. And I've talked about Big Nickel and using an extra safety. He'll do different stuff, and he's got the cachet to do it. Whereas, you know, if you're Sean Desai, you're trying to do the same things, but you're going to get questioned. He's not going to get questioned. And yeah, so that's just a basic, and then it expands from there. The coverages, and what he does. And it's the most complicated defense in the NFL. And when you get it and you play with freedom, it can be really, really impressive and really stifling. And when you don't get it, and I bring up Ed Donatell, it can be really ugly. So a lot of it is teaching and making sure the players understand their roles and responsibilities, and the communication that we talked about yesterday on the back end is not only an important in this defense, it's an absolute necessity in this defense.
How much correlation is there to what they would run on the back end in coverage, cover three, quarters, cover two, versus what
and
they
by
do?
The way, he calls his cover three cover nine. So you know, again, it's just labeling. But and he does sort of what those match principles and when he's got an extra rusher, and the hook defender when he's dropping seven, which he prefers to do. So yeah, I mean, So even the terminology, like other people might call it cover three, he calls it cover nine. And this is from people that know, believe me. This is from other coaches and guys who do this for a living. And the terminology is something that, that can be an issue as well. Because if you talk to any corner, they'll tell you coverage is coverage. But then when you start calling cover three, cover nine, or going in that a different direction, that could be an impact. But that's the kind of stuff that should be cleared up in training camp.
Well, let's talk scenarios. First and 10, what's their base package here? What, or their base coverage, I guess you could say.
His base coverage is probably that fire zone coverage, which is, you know, basically a match zone where you pass off in your role. That's what you're going to see the most. So when I said drop, you know, there's probably, as I said, three different types of zone coverages in the NFL. Pure zone would be that, okay, you drop to a spot, you drop to the 40 right. yard line. That's the simplest. Zone match, which is what he uses most of the time, is that you'll see the underneath defenders passing off depending and what the coverage is. And then the man match, which he also uses a lot, and that will come off sometimes as man coverage, but it really isn't. That's basically, if you're the last guy, then it becomes man-to-man. So that's where communication comes into it and is very important, because if you think somebody else is responsible,
right,
and all of a sudden you drop a guy when you're not supposed to drop a guy, it can look really, really ugly.
Yeah, and we mentioned that yesterday. I mean, the Super Bowl, the Eagles got burned twice from a lack of communication on the defensive end.
Yeah. So it's not easy. You know, probably the easiest thing to do from a defensive perspective was to get a bunch of athletes and say, point at those guys and say, you got this guy, you got this guy, you got, but nobody's got seven coverage players that can match up like that. So that's where all the zone, and the Eagles have made, you know, there isn't a lot of man to man in the modern NFL. There really isn't.
Not a lot in this defense.
No. So I think people get caught up in sometimes it'll look like press coverage, and sometimes it'll look like man coverage, but it really isn't. And basically, and this is what they like about Quinyon Mitchell, he's got a lot of experience in this type of defense, where it's basically man principles, but zone coverage. They think he's going to be a big time playmaker in that type of system, and we'll see how it works. But yeah, it's I wouldn't do it with young players, but
you know. And they've went all young. This is why, as I listen to you explain this, and I understand, I'm obviously not as entrenched in learning and understanding the game of football and packages and coverages and all those things like the guys that have been drafted and signed to this team are. But boy, I mean, we're talking about getting rid of James Bradbury. He's not that bad of his own corner. Maybe he's worth keeping just for the sake of communication to you know, to keep these young guys in the right spots, to know how to explain it. You need people out there that know what to do. And I'm not saying the young guys don't, but I do. It does sound like there's got to be an acclimation period for those guys.
Well, and there is, and there's going to be hiccups and mistakes and things like that. But I you know, when
you pointed out, looks ugly
I pointed out weeks ago before the draft that I was almost hoping they didn't draft a corner because I thought Bradbury would have a bounce back year in big system because he's a pure zone cover. He's going to get it. He knows, he's seen it all. He's played it all. And I still think he'd have a bounce back season. I just don't think the opportunity is there any longer because there's no room for him now. And long term, don't get me wrong, it'll be better to have the young players, but maybe, you know, Bill was talking about patience. It's not the easiest thing for fans to have patience, but it's probably a good idea to have some patience with these young defensive backs, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean specifically. They're going to make some mistakes. Don't expect, you know, there's going to be some blown coverages and things like that. And I don't know if they have that hook defender, flat defender yet. I don't think they do. I don't see an Andrew Van Ginkel on this roster. Now that Bick has said,
when you say flat defender, you're talking Van Ginkel, who's like a hybrid between potentially a slot corner and a linebacker, you could say?
No. He's a hybrid between an edge rusher and he's got coverage skills, which is very rare. It's not easy to find that player.
Which Jalix Hunt fits the mold of that.
Potentially down the road.
Yeah, down the road. I'm not saying right now, but I'm saying, you know, they
and,
did.
And I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen Bryce Huff hasn't been asked to do it. Maybe he can do it. You know, Andrew Van Ginkel wasn't asked to do it before last season, and he did it. So on paper, and that's why if you go back to when Howie brought up Zach Bond, and that was one of the more interesting things at the press conference because Howie was talking and specifically brought up, he didn't say by name because he didn't want to talk about somebody else's player, but you knew who he was talking about. He was talking about Van Ginkel in Miami, and he thought Zach Bond had some similar traits to develop into that kind of player. And all of a sudden, Bick shows up and he's talking about him as a stack linebacker, as an off-ball linebacker, completely different roles. So I don't see that player. And you know, Bick's smart enough to know he's not gonna use stuff that he used if he doesn't have the players to pull it off. So if you go back to 2021, Nick's first season, they were running this scheme, but they didn't run as much five-man fronts, as much 50 fronts, those tight fronts that we were talking about yesterday and those tough fronts that they wanted to because they didn't have a nose tackle, a big-time nose tackle. If you remember, Javon Hargrave would at times play that role, but he wasn't good at it.
Yeah, not at all. He was more of a pass-rushing defensive tackle. Yeah.
And Jannard Avery was the Sam linebacker, and he ain't Hassan Reddick. So they didn't use it as much as they wanted to. And then when they got those players, Jordan Davis and Hassan Reddick, it really took off from a schematic standpoint in year two. So I think Bick is smart enough to know if he doesn't have a piece of what he wants, then, you know, he's going to play something else until he gets that piece. The my biggest concern is definitely the communication on the back end with all the young players. And you've already seen it with veteran players. I mean, Slay and Bradbury aren't, you know, it doesn't get more veteran than that.
Yeah, and they're the guys that got burnt in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Marcus Epps at the time was very high football IQ. CJ's very high football IQ, very good coverage player. And even they, you know, had hiccups. So everybody's going to have hiccups at times. But, you know, the longer you play it, the more comfortable you get into it, the better you get because it'll keep expanding it and it'll keep rolling out different coverages to try to confuse the quarterback. And, you know, then it's as JG would always say, rush and cover, cover and rush. It also comes into the front has to get home as well. and that makes things a heck of a lot easier.
John, when I think of defense, to me, the most important part of defense is getting pressure on the quarterback, impacting the quarterback's ability to get the ball out effectively and on time. What's the most important position or player or in Vic Fangio's system? Is it the front?
Yeah. If you look at Khalil Mack, even Akeem Hicks, those guys dominated up front and everybody looks good. So to me, on this team, it's Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter has the talent to be the best defensive tackle in football. If he gets there, he gets there. If he doesn't, maybe he doesn't. But
well, let me ask you, is Vic Fangio the right coordinator to extract that talent from him? Is this system the right one? We talked about the different fronts they could be in. We talked about the five-man front, the four-man front, the tight front, the tough front. Is that the best system to get the most value out of those players, him and Jordan Davis?
Well, it depends what you define as value. I've been talking.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy.
Talking about Jordan Davis from day one. Jordan Davis is so important to this defense and has been. And people think he's not good. And when he's not out there, it's an issue because they can't replicate what he does. But he doesn't get a lot of sacks. He's not designed to get a lot of sacks.
He's not designed to get a lot of stats, period.
Yeah. So You know, it depends. Same thing with Jalen Carter. Could he go somewhere else and get a bunch of sacks and be a double-digit sack guy? Yes. Is he going to get less in this defense? Yes. Can he be impactful? Yes. I mean, Akeem Hicks, I think, was for a few years, life moved so fast in the NFL. He was probably the most underrated player in football. He would just blow up plays on a consistent basis. He was impossible to block. But, you know, it wasn't designed to put up big sack numbers or things like that. And Jalen will get sacks because he's so talented, but he's not going to be Aaron Donald. And he could go to a defense. Nobody's Aaron Donald. That's unfair. But if people were in the old school Jim Schwartz defense, people would think he's better. Doesn't necessarily mean he's better, if that makes sense. He could still be as impactful in this scheme. But people like stats, and for stat people, maybe the perception will be, but to me, it's not about perception. It's about impact on the game, and he'll have a very good opportunity to have a huge impact on the game.
I want to get back to the backs and the coverages, but I want to ask this question on Jalen Carter. You just said he has the potential to be one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. How do you make him that? That's what I define as value. I want, if you say Johnny Mack, and I think this is not just Johnny Mack, this is what many people believe, he has the potential to be one of the most talented DTs in the NFL. Well, how do I get that out of him? Because to me, if I get that out of him, the rest of my defense will be better because of it.
Well, I think he already was last year. I mean, he was.
So this is the right system to do that?
Well, again, yeah, he's sort of going to be good no matter. And that's what Vic said. He's going to be good no matter what. You know, when I bring up Kelce talking about he played with two players, and I think he undersold it. I think he could have put Lane in there. I think he could have put AJ. But he said he played with two players that would have been successful regardless of scheme, philosophy, supporting cast. And he said Jason Peters and Fletcher Cox. Jalen's a similar guy. He's going to be successful wherever you put him. And that's exactly what Vic said. He already, if you go to the PFA, it was Dexter Lawrence, Aaron Donald, Quinnen Williams, Derek Brown, Chris Jones, Jalen Carter. He was the sixth best defensive tackle last year as a rookie. Now, what you want, Dexter Lawrence had some injuries, you know, so I'll throw him out. Aaron Donald played 916 snaps. Quinnen Williams played 778. Derek Brown played 938. Chris Jones played 947. Jalen played 599. So you want him to be up in that 900 range. And that has to do with more of conditioning and playing at Georgia and rotating and not being used to it. So they have to get that 599 up to 900 and have the same impact. He was already, when he was on the field last year, he was already one of the best defensive tackles in football. He's got to get more disciplined as well. And Vic will help him with that. But I mean, just flat out talent. He's unbelievable. He's different.
One last question on Jalen Carter before we go back. I want to talk about Quinyon Mitchell and how he fits in this. How much do you put on the coordinator change in Jalen's drop off? Because at 10 games into the season last year, Jalen Carter was far and away by a country mile the defensive rookie of the year. The last six games or the last seven games, he slips all the way down and he loses the defensive rookie of the year. And I'm not saying that's the end all be all. I'm just saying his production and his perceived value and his tangible value significantly decreased. Do you put that on the change in defensive coordinator or just a conditioning thing where he's getting acclimated to the NFL?
Probably a little bit of both. Certainly.
What's more, though? Come on, I'm going to make you make a decision. What's more? Did they start using him wrong?
Conditioning. I think he hit the rookie wall. Conditioning. But the lack of discipline, because it was the entire front, and I know the Eagles were upset by this. Those guys were going off relancing. Now, if that had something to do with the change, they sort of started playing for themselves. And it's not only Hassan Reddick trying to kick him out the door, because it was everybody. It was Josh Sweat who talked about it. It was Jalen Carter. It was everybody. And they weren't disciplined. And I could tell you, if Jim Schwartz was here, he would have pulled his hair out, because he just is hyper-focused on, when it comes to the pass rush, you can't freelance. You gotta be disciplined. Otherwise, you're going to be giving up big plays. And even in the run game, you know, guys getting out of gaps, doing what they're not supposed to do. It was a big problem. And if that had something to do with the move from Sean Desai to Matt Patricia, potentially. But I think most of it would have to do with, that's a process. You know, the rookie wall is real. It's not just Jalen Carter. You've seen it everywhere. These guys, there's certain guys. I mean, Aaron, again, it's tough to compare anyone to Aaron Donald, but he's in phenomenal shape, was in phenomenal shape day one, his NFL career, played 900 snaps every year. But those guys are the outliers. And especially, you know, he played at Pitt where he was the star. And he was had to play a lot.
Right. Jalen Carter was on the best defense in college football.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the best defenses in college football.
The Georgia problem is real. As Nick Sirianni would say, it's a nice problem to have. But they have so many good players. And they have to play them. Or if they don't play them, they're going to lose them in the transfer portal. They got to keep everybody happy. And guys don't play a lot. And if you're not used to playing a lot, you don't just show up at the NFL level, which is even better, and say, oh, I'm used to playing 30 snaps or whatever. And all of a sudden I got to play 60, 70, and I got to play 5 extra games. Well, it's Georgia's, so more like 4 or 5 extra games, because the Eagles go to the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, he's got a. It's not.
Yeah, they also, by the way, they also have a month off in between their playoff game and college. I mean,
and it's not an insult but he and Jordan Davis have to get used to playing more.
Yeah, that's the biggest knock on Jordan Davis. He has to get into NFL conditioning because, I mean, he's a beastie guy. I remember when I met him at the Maxwell Awards, I'm like,
yeah, holy
you're bigger than you look on the TV screen, and you look big on the TV screen.
And yeah, he's one of the weirdest because he's been very effective for the Eagles in his role. But I was, and you probably remember listening, I was concerned about that pick because it's, and the word I always use, it's an esoteric pick, and people are going to expect things from the 13th overall pick. And he's not going to deliver those things, mainly sacks. But if he turns into Haloti Ngata, which is what the Eagles wanted him to, then it's a really good pick. And already, because I had Jalen up, I went to Jordan. So in 2022 as a rookie, he was the 26th best defensive tackle out of 127.
Pretty good.
Yeah, 2023 was 30th out of 130. He's a good player, really good player. Is he a great player? Probably not, but he's really good. And if the Eagles don't have him, their whole defense just changes. Because when I talk about those, we go back to yesterday's show, those five-man fronts, those tough and tight fronts, they don't have a backup. They're looking for one. They have been.
Yeah, and you talked about it a second ago when you said, you know, shoot, what's it? Javon Hargrave was playing the nose. That didn't work well.
And Marlon Tuipulotu would be the one to do it now, and he's okay, but he's 305 pounds. It's a big difference. It is a big, big difference. He'll be better at it than Javon was. But he won't be Jordan Davis. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so the defense will change. John, let's get to, I want to ask about the rookie draft pick, Quinyon Mitchell, because we talked a lot about coverages. We talked about the back end. We talked about the, you know, the different things that they're doing in this defense. Do you think one of the biggest things they valued with Quinyon Mitchell, and he was very public about this pre-draft, was that he modeled his game after Darius Slay, which is obviously a zone type of corner that fits in this system. How much stock do you think they put in that? And that would that tell you or tell me whether Vic Fangio is here or not, they're married to this system?
Well, that's, you know, part of the problem. I don't think you should ever be married to a system. And that unfortunately describes 90% of the coaches who are married to a system. I think you should try to take advantage of the players you have and their skill sets, which to me is common sense, but it's easier said than done.
Well, aren't they technically doing that if Quinyon Mitchell is this type of corner that
his, well, Slay wasn't this type of corner until he got here. He was right. More,
and he got older.
He played, he played a different style in Detroit. He was great. You know, he's a great man coverage player. And now he's up to whatever, 6 Pro Bowls. So he's one of those guys who can play in anything either. And I think from Quinyon's perspective, it's more of, all right, he's really good. So I'm going to model my
game. I just wonder because, like we talked about, he was there. Terrion Arnold was there. You know, maybe they give the slight advantage to Quinyon because they're like, okay, he fits this scheme perfectly. Versus maybe Terrion.
No, Arnold. I actually think it's the opposite. I think they think he's got the higher ceiling as a player.
That's good to know. That's what I would like them. Yeah. That's what I would how I would like them to make the decision. But obviously, I don't know that.
I just think they think he was better from a standpoint of from the scouting. And I've talked to the scouts enough to know that they, and this is probably better with Cooper, like they're looking at him as an outside corner, but they also realize that, you know, once he's out of their hands, it's up to the coaches to utilize him the way they want to utilize him. And that's where his versatility comes in. So, you know, he played mostly outside corner at Iowa. So that's what they sort of evaluated him as. And if Vic gets a hold of him and says he could help us more, whether it's slot corner, safety, nickel linebacker, he'll use him in that way. So it's kind of a different type of mentality. But from the now, Howie's got it both. Howie's got to think about that more than the scouts. The scouts are just evaluating players. And Howie's got to figure out what the coaches want and how it fits and all that kind of stuff. And that's the difficulty of that job. And it's a very difficult job. But yeah, I wouldn't get, and you've seen it now with coordinators, you know, this has been a very successful team. And over the Nick Sirianni era, for the most part, made the playoffs every season, made a Super Bowl, NFC Championship, yada, yada, yada. And they've already gone through Shane Steichen, Nick himself, if we want to go back to that, Brian Johnson. And defensively, they've gone through Jonathan Gannon, Sean Desai, Matt Patricia. Here we are again. I wouldn't get caught up in drafting people for scheme. And I think the Eagles are pretty good with that.
We'll get to a commercial break soon. We have Caden Steele from NJ.com coming up next. Last question, Johnny Mac, on the coverages and what we've talked about for really the last 2 days now. Let's assume Cooper DeJean is playing corner, either slot corner or outside corner, whatever one. We talked about Big Nickel where there's 3 safeties on the field. Do they have enough safeties on the roster? I mean, we got Sidney Brown, we got Reed Blankenship, you got CJ Gardner-Johnson, But if there's going to be packages where there's three safeties on the field, they're going to need more players at that position, or maybe one of the corners, one of the 14 corners they have, does move to safety.
Yeah, well, a lot of people keep thinking.
A lot of people want Justin Simmons. There's a couple people in the chat talking about Justin Simmons. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's only three proven ones, so to speak. But if you want to consider Sydney proven, they did move Tristan McCollum there. They moved, essentially, I think they're going to move Mekhi Gardner full-time there. We'll see how it works out. And they have some bodies. But if you want an impactful player, I don't think that's coming because I think they like Reed Blankenship.
I think Cooper DeJean might make sense at safety.
Well, and he might, and he's versatile. And that's the thing. He can play there if you need him to play there. I can tell you they're starting him at outside corner. Doesn't mean he's finishing there. And right. Vic explained that. You start somebody at their primary position, then you work in the secondary position. Now, for Cooper, that's already started, but it's outside corner is the primary position. Slot corner is the secondary. So they haven't gotten safety yet. That doesn't mean they won't get to safety. Avonte Maddox, you know, injuries demanded he play safety as a rookie. Eagles didn't envision that or work that.
Yeah, a lot of scenarios can happen that can push things one way or the other.
Yeah. But he does have the versatility. I could just tell you they're not thinking about it yet. But there's a 90-man offseason roster. When things whittle down to 53, they can change pretty quickly.
Yeah, with the linebacking core though, I'm guessing after the last 2 days of conversation on defense, I'm guessing they're going to be running more big nickel than maybe we're thinking solely based on the skill level.
Well, I've said that, but that is pure speculation on my part because I don't like the linebacker.
Yeah, but it's fair speculation because the linebacking core sucks.
Well, on paper, it doesn't look good.
I mean, N'Kobe Dean's done nothing. Devin White has had four straight years of pitiful linebacker play. I know everybody wants him to reach what he did his rookie year. The linebackers aren't good. I mean, I don't know. You could be an Eagle homer for all I care. The linebacking core is not a good linebacking core by any metric.
If you're grading the league at linebacker, Eagles would be bottom five.
Easily. Bottom five.
Yeah.
So Big Nickel, I think, is going to come into play. So we'll see how it all plays out. Let's get to a commercial timeout. Coming up next, Caden Steele, who's great on the draft, writes for NJ.com, does a lot of great work for them covering the Eagles. So we'll talk to him. We'll get his opinion on some of these things. Maybe talk to him about Cooper DeJean. Could he play safety? We will see how it all pans out. And let's get to a commercial timeout. Coming up next, Caden Steele from NJ.com.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media Channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.